Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides should be celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a size-inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Maggie.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see. And don't forget that All Bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes, ages, races, abilities, genders, sexualities, and beyond.
Come along for the ride. All right, here we go. Maggie, how's it going?
Marley, I'm great. How are you?
I wouldn't say I'm great, but I'm good.
Okay. All right. What can, like, how can we bring that up? What do you need?
I just have a headache.
Water today?
Have you had a snack? I definitely did not drink enough water, and I got my hair cut, and they always put like smelly products in, even when I asked them not to. And so like I got home and showered immediately, but the damage was done, and now I'm dealing with a headache. But that is okay, because I'm really excited for tonight's tonight's podcast guest.
Dang. Yes, me too.
Yeah.
That's easy for me to say.
Yeah. Do you want to read their bio or do you want me to read it?
I would love to read their bio.
Please. And then we will bring him into the conversation and start.
It'll be great. Yeah. Party. I love it. Well, tonight with us, we have Andrew Schneider. And Andrew is the founder of Party Size Cycling, part apparel company, part New Jersey cycling gang. And basically, they host chill rides, make chill stuff. Andrew himself is a fat cyclist, a major advocate of the adventure life lifestyle and the do-it-yourself ethos. So we like most of that stuff. I think I like do-it-yourself sometimes.
I think we like all of that. I'm going to make a real quick correction. It's the adventure light lifestyle.
I said the wrong thing.
It's okay. I don't know. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, woo! How's it going? Let's
start there. What is the adventure light lifestyle?
Yeah.
I think it was something I heard during like a pre-ride spiel one time that somebody described riding in the Northeast as adventure light, meaning like you're never more than half an hour from a house. You know, there's like a lot, you're never really and truly in danger as opposed to you out West Coast, right? You're in the desert, you're in the mountains, like stuff goes wrong out there. Yeah.
Okay.
Life and death. We don't have that around here. So, but I've adopted that to more of that of just like, hey, maybe mountain biking down super steep stuff is not for me, but I like chunky stuff and riding over weird things, but you know, not at the risk of like falling off the side of a cliff and into a river, you know, like, or worse. So, so that's the, I like to call the, I've co-opted it, from that person, the adventure light lifestyle, but
I like love it. That.
Yeah.
Yep.
I might co-opt it from you because I feel much the same
way.
I
didn't make it up, so go for it. I think it was actually Ronnie Romance that did it like a pre-nutmeg spiel. And I don't even think he meant to declare it as like a way of life, but it really has stuck with me for like a good 3 years now, I think.
Yeah. Dang. That resonates really deeply with me because, yeah.
I also have one quick correction I have to make before I forget this other thing. Please. I think a couple of the other guests have credited me on this podcast with the inventing party pace, the term. That is not me. I just need to set the record straight.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna guess it was Russ.
I think so. Yeah, Russ from Path Less Pedaled.
That's the first place I heard it, but I appreciate the sentiment, and I certainly have embraced that as well. But I am not the originator of that saying. Just want to make sure I'm on the record.
Just, I love it. Clearing the air.
We're learning so many things tonight already.
Yeah. Just putting it out there. So Russ from Path Less Pedaled. Also, Andrew is a subscriber to the adventure light lifestyle, but does not claim any ownership over that, which is great. You know, nobody needs to own these terms. It's just, they're just descriptions of life.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. You told us a little bit about who you are. You're the founder of Party Size Cycling. You're a self-proclaimed fat cyclist. You live in New Jersey. What else? Who are you? What do you do?
I have a boring desk job as my day in, day out, which is how I'm able to sort of get some of the party size stuff done. That's my sort of, everybody else spends, you know, 10 minutes on Facebook. I spend 10 minutes trying to create a new product to hawk on there, like updating the website or trying to come up with a fun ride. Right. So like, that's my downtime. I'm a dad, I got an 8-year-old, and, we go on some good rides. He's done 20 miles with me, which I thought was pretty impressive for an 8-year-old. And
that's very impressive. Just,
I love a good hang. That's really what I'm about.
Nice. Very cool. You know, it's funny. All Bodies on Bikes and a lot of my blogging started much the same way. You know, kind of in between projects, or, you know, had a really productive 2 hours. Cool. I'm going to fuck off for 20 minutes. Sometimes I forget we have the explicit rating, so I'm just going to take advantage of it.
You know what? That was something I meant to ask, is, as previously discussed, I'm from New Jersey. It was going to come out one way or the other. So like, I'm glad that I'm not going to be the only one.
Oh yeah. I already dropped the first F-bomb of the episode.
So. All right. Huge weight on my shoulders.
So before we dive too deep into party size cycling, I think you might be one of the first larger bodied men that we've had on the show. So I would just love to dig into that a little bit. So, you know, you ride a lot of bikes, you're self-proclaimed fat man. What are some of the unique challenges you've experienced because of that?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing for me, and especially, so I'm in a like sort of a weird spot where, I am big, but not necessarily tall. I'm not short, but I'm an average heighted person who's just built weird. So like, there's a lot of bigger men cyclists who are very powerful and can do lots of amazing things and are, not that slow. I am not. So I think I like to make a big, there's like a distinction between like, teehee, I'm slow, and like, no, I'm slow. Like I'm, you're going to be waiting for me lots if we're going on a group ride. So that is definitely something I think that is, I don't think it's unique to being a male, but I think that's just like unique to being in a larger frame than your sort of like size or legs. So that's the one thing. I mean, there's a lot of bad advice out there as well, I think.
What's some bad advice you've gotten?
Just tire pressure, right? So that's like probably a big thing is, you come across people that are good at it, and like, it's actually usually a way I can tell whether a bike shop is a good shop or not, like, or whether the person's like sort of going to give me good advice, right? Because if they're talking about just putting the same tire that 150-pound rider or even the 200-pound rider is going to put in their bike, I can't do that, right? Like, I'm going to be pinch flatting, I'm going to be having problems with my rims, problems there. So speaking of rims, I would say that's probably the big thing. And again, these aren't male things necessarily, right? But just, you know, being 300 plus pounds is just the rims that you're using. You're not going to be using those lightweight svelte, like, you know, carbon rims. You'd be looking at like, they're not sexy rims at all, but like the Alex Adventurer 2s are like, I have had a pair of those on my main bike and with like 36 spoke. So good spoke count, but nothing crazy. And I don't know if they've ever even been trued, and they're still fine. And I take that bike on all sorts of crazy stuff that is not supposed to be going on. And I've never had a problem with those rims. So like, there's a good recommendation for bigger folks out there. And those are cheap, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I love hearing you go off on tire pressure. Cause that is a huge pet peeve of mine. You know, you'll be at these expos and brands will have charts of rider weight and PSI, and it's like, it the highest limit is like 250, and I'm like, cool, what about all my friends who weigh more than that? Are they just, you know, not supposed to put in air?
And... don't get me started on on four air forks, right? Like the chart only goes up to 250. I'm like, well, the bike is rated for more than 250. So what are we? How did you stop there? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a lot of the work we're trying to do with All Bodies on Bikes. It's just having those conversations and making people aware that, yes, there are 350-pound people riding bikes, going long distances or short distances, getting rowdy, having adventures, that sort of thing. So, yeah, go off on that tire pressure. Yeah, what other challenges? Like, you know, do you have issues with clothing or?
Yeah. For a long time, had resisted traditional cycling clothing, and almost like to prove a point. So have done like the Gap and Cenos, like longer 5-day tours and stuff like that. No cycling specific anything, you know, whatsoever, like a pair of shorts. And I found at some point there was like a company that was making like big and tall tech button-ups that I found were really good. They don't make them anymore, so I won't even shout them out. But like really just kind of getting out there and just doing it. And I think that was a big early thing with like, sort of the thing that was drawing people to our Instagram, at least, right. Was like, hey, I'm sort of, it got to the point where I'm like, I don't care what Rafa is doing. I don't care that Rafa doesn't have bigger sizes. I don't care that whatever, but cause I don't need that. And I'm just going to ride whatever I'm with. I've come around and questioning conventional cycling wisdom and have come around to bibs in general. So found some good bib companies. I like Fat Lad at the Back has a bib that is very solid, not too long. Aerotech has them also, but is not, it's not as good, frankly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Although they have them and they have a much larger breadth of size that I would say than Fat Lad at the Back, but they're just not they're a little longer and more designed for like a little bit of a tall person. I kind of got lost in a train of thought here. What were we supposed to go back to?
You were talking about clothing brands, and actually I love that. Yeah. Any other brands you'd recommend?
Brands I'd recommend. No, I mean, I'll be honest. I use the shirt that I have from like coaching youth soccer because it's like a tech material. That's the shirt that I wear as a base layer when I'm riding and throw bibs on over that. And I'll just throw a t-shirt or something on. So ride what you got. Don't wait. Yep. You know, I will say I appreciate some of the work that you, particularly Marley, have done with like Pearl Izumi. I don't know how much you had a hand in that, but like their windbreaker, I forget what it's called. It's a green one. It's great. That was nice to actually have. I also bought that Osprey pack too, which I cannot say enough good things about. That's the first time I ever had a pack that fit. So really appreciate some of the work you're doing there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, like I guess that's the one, if I could have one takeaway as well, as nice as it is that some brands have come around. Like, don't get hung up on it. That's the thing that's going to be the difference between riding and not. Just ride.
Yep.
Whatever. If real bibs are a price, you know, prohibitor for you trying that, if you really feel like, hey, I've ridden, my butt really needs the bibs, like you can get cheapo bike shorts on Amazon for a couple bucks and they're really, they'll get you by, you know, until you really decide whether or not this is something you want to invest a lot of money in.
Yeah, I like that advice.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the bike that you have taken places that it shouldn't have gone. what bike are you riding? Tell us about it.
I'm a big proponent for bigger folks of using touring bikes. So my main quiver killer is the Surly Disc Trucker, which again, not the sexiest bike in the world, not the most aerodynamic or light, frankly, but that bike has hold up. It has a dented top tube. I take that thing on all sorts of rocks and trails. And I mean, I know that they definitely, I have the newer one, the 2020, that they expanded the tire size so I can get good solid 42s on there, which I don't think you were really able to in a lot of touring bikes before that. But just with that, like I've been able to pretty much ride almost anything other than like true mountain biking trails. So just did while we can curse, the Fall Fuck Around, got to shout that out from Hush Money Bikes. And so there was some chunky, gnarly stuff. We were on like a mile or two just on the side of a railroad, like thing, like so those rocks that are
The huge,
see
huge
my
things.
Hands, sure. Or, you know, yeah. Big bouldery chunks, and went through that just fine. I would say the one thing that is key though is I've fallen into the trap of the supple tire brands, which I love and they look great and they're nice, but I've had more problems with those lighter tires, and frankly, just like some, I always say never wrong, Turvale, like Washburns have been fine. The Surly Extra Trishuls that came on the disc trucker got 3,000 miles out of those.
Dang.
Wild stuff. Amazing. Yeah. And like, but meanwhile, I love Ron. I love the Ultra Dynamicos. They feel great, but I don't think I even got 1,000 miles out of those before I had to start scrapping them. So,
yeah, it's funny. Back in the day, I tried a bunch of the Rene Hurst tires, mm-hmm. the supple, because everybody was, they loved them.
Supple
the
baby life, shoe, yeah.
The baby shoe pass. And it turns out supple life doesn't work when you're over 250 pounds. Yeah. Like, there's just no such thing as supple. My body's supple.
Touch me. The difference, I feel like, as a bigger person, you make that tire supple, right? Like, you will put the amount of weight on it to give it the flex. If it's already flexing on a normal, person and giving you that cushion, bad sign when you're going to literally, you know, sometimes double the weight of another rider and throw it on that same tire. So
yeah, 100%. And I wish there was a way to explain that besides like just kind of being like, no, they just don't work for me. And people, in my experience, people in smaller bodies just don't get it. Which, how can they be expected to?
I would be concerned if the same tire that was good for a 150-pound person was good for a 310-pound person, right? Like, there should be different stuff. And I think that's a big thing, too, is to sort of kind of sidetrack into the other side of party size cycling, right, is the making stuff, in that I wanted to make stuff that was focused on bigger first. Like, we also sell smaller sizes, but, like, we design logos that fit and look good on a 5XL primarily. So we start there, and then hey, if the small doesn't look as good, that's a bummer for some of my smaller friends. But like, we want to make sure that the 5XL looks great. The 3XL looks great. That's probably, you know, the thing that that's my size. So I really try to make sure that looks good on 3XL. But yeah, it just across the board, you can't expect the same thing to work for all different sizes. You kind of need to have some different stuff, and that's why it's nice that some brands are recognizing that, and like that Osprey pack, for example, right, like putting out a big person specific, not a smaller one that hey, they just threw another buckle on, but like this is designed around a big person primarily, and that's really nice.
Yeah, how incredible was it to like put that pack on and be like, I can,
it just buckle right?
yeah like you don't have to suck in, you don't have to like contort your body all weird, like it just works. And like,
no, yeah,
It's pretty darn incredible. I'm the first time I put it on, I was like, whoa, this is awesome.
I don't know about you, but anytime you're using something like that, I immediately just undo the buckles to the fullest.
Oh yeah.
This, or we're a good foot too long, you know? So it's like, that was a weird experience that I've never ever had with anything with the buckle before.
Same. When we were doing some of the photo shoots, they wanted me to like unbuckle and rebuckle a bunch of times. And they were like, can you just reach a little further? And I was like, no, this is as far as my arms go. Like, I think the Osprey pack in particular, it goes up to 70 inches at the waist, and my wingspan is not 70 inches. So I just like legitimately could not even reach far enough. It's a good problem to have.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Well, do you want to dig into party size cycling since we touched on it a little bit? We're jumping around a little bit, but what is party size cycling?
That's a good question, frankly. Even writing the bio, I had to rewrite it a few times. I went with less is more, but it's hard to describe. To explain how it started, right? So couple friends we just started riding on Friday night. It's the only time we could get away. All of us had the kids, they're all in bed. Like Friday night was the night we can get out and we could ride together. So turned into a night riding thing, and then sort of came up shopping through names, want to make some shirts. I'm always like, something about me is I'm always going to take whatever the thing is I'm doing, and I can't just passively do it. I have to get involved. I have to make a thing. I have to, you know, in college I was the one throwing shows at, you know, I had 200 people at our house, like at a basement show type of thing. Like, can't just go to shows or live there. I have to put on shows. I have to do the stuff. I have to create community. So worked with my friend Evan, and he came up with sort of our initial design. And actually, the party size came from a bag of popcorn. The original name, I've talked about this a few times on Instagram, was going to be Chamois Boys with B-O-I-S, which was problematic for a couple reasons. And so we scrapped that. But there is a design out there that has Chamois Boys as the logo. Put it on a party side. As soon as it came out of my mouth, it was just like, that fits. That's it. So then from there, I honestly probably would have just been a thing that was just a couple of us in the neighborhood riding bikes until I posted a picture of myself with a shirt off at the end of that tour that I talked about earlier, the CNO tour, given the blast in the middle fingers with my shirt off, like at the mile zero marker, like, you know. And so immediately our little just like Instagram for our local neighborhood rides turned into like, okay, there's attention on us and there's this thing. And that had enabled me to then do some things that I really wanted to do, which is make shirts that I wanted, make hats that I wanted, make just stuff that I want that was really unfeasible to do at a onesie twosie level. But, you know, having a slightly larger following then enabled us to be able to do this. And what we found out was, hey, everybody's into this stuff, or everybody appreciates this. Not everybody, but enough people that we've been able to sort of attract some attention. And so that sort of side of the what party size is taken off. And I don't know how to balance the two. I feel like people that live in California don't care about the local night rides, and people local a lot of times don't care about the really bikey stuff. And then I have a whole big weird metal hardcore stuff that I post all the time. And I don't know who that's for, but I don't know. Party size cycling is just a vehicle to kind of do whatever I want. I don't know how else to describe it. So I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's
a great answer. Yeah. Sounds like that's honestly what All Bodies on Bikes started as, was like, I want to talk about these things that are important to me. And now, of course, it's grown to this nonprofit, and I have a board to report to, and keep party size cycling.
I remember your like Friday afternoon Zwift rides during the pandemic. I was on,
yeah.
We had some conversation then, but yeah, no, I mean, I think I would say, you know, what you were doing is definitely an inspiration. Like we came to become a thing around that time. Right. So
are your group size still, or excuse me, are your group rides still happening?
Yeah. Yeah. We go pretty much year round. I'll take a break sometimes in January and February and just do the virtual rides. So if anybody out there, speaking of virtual rides, so we do Wednesday nights during the winter, we have a Discord, and then that's really all we use it for. It's not really an active Discord besides that, but we will do just virtual group rides. You don't have to have a trainer. You don't have to have Zwift. Just show up. We had somebody literally on a stationary bike join the one week, and just kind of talk and have fun and just try to make it like one of our outside rides, but there. So, you know, nobody's paying attention to how fast anybody's going or who's where. Just kind of pedal and talk.
Love that. Oh, I was going to make Maggie ask a question, but they're back.
Now she's choking.
Okay. You okay?
I'm fine. Just,
I can call 911 from across the country. But
thank you. Yes.
Hope I don't need to.
Just send somebody from Arkansas to North Carolina. It'll be great. It'll go so fast. So the group rides, you were just talking about the virtual ones. Do y'all just like do a Zoom call?
So on Discord, it's basically a Zoom call. There's a channel on there, and then you can do just video or I'm sorry, just audio or audio and video. It's a little bit more fun if everybody's on video. We get, not everybody has a good setup for that. And then, so we do have a Zwift club. So we'll post the event on there. So that way, like, everybody, if you want to, can do that. But you don't have to, like I said, it can be just if you got rollers, if you got an exercise bike, if you got whatever you got, just kind of show up.
I like if that. You're okay with that, can we put a link to your Zwift club in the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send that over.
Cool.
Yeah.
I remember my first, it was during the pandemic, and I was just learning about Discord, and still in my brain, I think it's like a weird concept of like, we're just going to breathe heavy and be on camera for each other. And I know it's more than that. I know, like, there's lots of stories that get shared and everybody's breathing heavy, but it's still just like in my brain, such a weird, funny thing that, like, of course cyclists would do this. Like, why wouldn't we? So
we're a special, unique group of human people, you know, the things that we're into. What would you say personally, makes party size cycling like unique to the cycling world? What makes it stand out?
You know, the funny thing is, I don't think we are that unique. I think there's a lot of other groups around the country, at least, that are doing that. I think of like Swelter Cycling down in Tampa. There's Action Wheels, a bike shop that's about an hour away. They're doing lots of like kind of the same type of interesting things. Grizzly Cycles out in California. I think the reason I say that is because I don't want you people that are listening to this to feel like, oh, I don't live in the place where this exists. So I can't do this, or this doesn't exist. And frankly, if it doesn't, just make it happen. That's what I did. But I think there is more than that. I think there are chill groups out there. I think they're just harder to find because they're not as popular, frankly, because a lot of people that don't like riding fast or don't like riding aggressively don't like group rides or don't like, you know, it happens time and time again when somebody finds out about us locally, they'll be like, I didn't know this existed. And I've been riding by myself for years or for, you know, whatever, and doing this stuff. I didn't realize other people did it too around here. So, so that's a cop-out answer. I don't know. I think it's fun. Like, I think that is what makes us different, is just a pure unbridled love of fun. Early on, there was some anger and there were some things that I had a voice finally, and I was trying to make some points, but I think really what it boiled down to is that isn't who I am, and that's not what I wanted this to be about. So, you know, for example, I've really, really, really tried hard this year. My like New Year's resolution was to, especially online, not yuck anybody's yum, which is a saying that I came across last year and really love, and I've really, really been trying to not like point out negative things or shit talk anything, and really just try to be a very positive force out there, especially in, you know, on Instagram, which is a platform that cannot be sometimes. I'm sure you both know and experience. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I think that's what makes it party size cycling a little more unique. But I think the takeaway is there is probably a party size cycling type thing around you. You just got to find it.
Yeah. And if not, start it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to dig in a little bit of this because I've been very curious on like the Instagram with your night rides. What is a night ride typical, or what do your rides look like? You know, let's talk mileage, pace. Like, are you I mean, I'm assuming you're regrouping.
Yes. Well, sometimes we don't ever ungroup to regroup, but
fair. Yeah.
Depends on the number of people. But that's a great point. So what I like to say when people ask me about it is it is a sub 10 mile an hour ride. I would like to say we have a policy of like no one rides alone, so it's not just no drop, right? Because no drop can still suck, frankly, when you're riding at the back and you get to the front, and even if they, you know, even in, like, you know, I've been on rides at no drop, and they'll wait and they'll make sure you have time to catch up, but it's still riding by yourself and it's so lonely. What I really try to do is lead from the back, which is challenging, but helps. I have a couple people that I trust that sort of lead the front and sort of know where to regroup, or we'll talk through, and we'll sort of at those sort of points, we'll say, okay, next stop, we're going to stop at the big bridge. We'll stop at the train station. We'll stop at the entrance to the gorge. We'll stop at certain landmarks that the people that ride know. I think that's important, but leading from the back is a skill set. And and also, you can see the people on the ride. When you're in the front, you're leading from the front, you can't see what everybody else is doing. When you're in the back, you can see this person struggling, this person not having a good time, this person stopped, they had a mechanical, somebody's dropped and they had a mechanical, even though you're waiting for them, that doesn't help them, right? Mm. So in the back, you can control a lot more of that stuff. And you can also, if you have communication, you know, I'll often say, like, take a few off the top, right? Like, we have some secondhand little things that just the person in the front will kind of know. You know, I would like to ask you all, because you all probably run some bigger rides than I do. I still struggle with how to handle like varying skill sets in a ride and how to make it fun for everyone. You know what I mean? Because there are some nights where I'm like, all right, hey, there's six people, there's three people that drove an hour to come out here and they want to ride the cooler stuff, not the cooler stuff, but like the more interesting stuff that we have. And there's a person that hasn't, you know, that isn't as comfortable. And then like, how do you balance that and make sure that the person mm-hmm. that drove an hour to come out to experience this thing kind of gets their time worth too, right? So I don't know, you all have any, what are you, don't know if you have a chance to talk about this enough, but what do you?
Yeah, all? I've actually been thinking about this a lot because, I mean, all of our rides, we try and keep under 10 miles an hour, oftentimes mm-hmm. even slower than that. And sometimes I'm like, is this too slow? But I always come around to, no, the people who need it are going to come to our rides. And, you know, just making sure that the vibes are good, setting those expectations at the beginning of like, hey, if you're here to rip your legs off, this is not the right ride for you. And really just making it more about the community and the conversation than necessarily the ride. I think another thing that we're trying to lean more into is that just because we're bigger doesn't necessarily mean we're all beginners. And so it's okay to have some longer rides, some more challenging rides, as long as you communicate those expectations at the beginning, so folks know if it's an appropriate ride for them. So yeah, I don't have a good answer. It's definitely something I think about a lot.
That is a good answer. That is.
Yeah. Maggie's our Charlotte chapter leader. I don't know. Do you have anything to add?
I don't. I think the one thing with it, I believe people that come out for all bodies on bikes rides, and I would expect people that come out for something called party size cycling rides, is most of those folks are going to be feeding off of the energy of the fat. If the new person is having fun, or the person who's riding some of the more like beginner stuff, or like, I had somebody ask me recently if I'm mountain biking, I was like, girl, I'm slow, but I love it. Let's do it. If you're all right with slow, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I think that most of the people that are coming out for our rides, if you're having fun, I'm having fun, because I just want to know that I'm outside with somebody else that enjoys moving on a bicycle as much as I enjoy moving on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. But I think when you're in a leadership position, it's easy to be like, oh, is everybody, what, who's gonna, especially if you have a social media presence, because you're used to people being like, well, you didn't do this. But yeah, I think just doing the thing and involving people and letting them see other people have fun on a bike ends up just balancing it all out.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, it's also important to, so if you are listening to this and you're not comfortable with group rides, and that's the reason why you haven't maybe come out to something or gone to something, I think group rides aren't necessarily for everybody. And that is, I think, is an important thing too. And if you are not, if you are personally not confident in what you're doing on a bike, a group ride might not, even as chill as it is, or even as common as it might not actually be the best place to get into this, right? What you might be better off doing is calling up a friend that rides. And do a couple rides just with that one person. You'll get some of those things out. You'll get to ask some of those questions you might be a little worried about, like embarrassing yourself in front of a larger group on one-on-one with somebody, a little bit easier before then joining the group ride. And, you know, it helps if that person is somebody that goes to go to a group ride with them, right? And they'll help you with that. So I think that's an important thing to do too, because I think people look to some of these and are be like, oh, I'm going to go and it's going to be the most amazing thing I've ever done. If you're not comfortable on a bike, doesn't matter how slow you're going, like you're saying, it's not about beginner, or, you know, if you're going on a ride that's going to have some chunky stuff and you're not comfortable on that, that might not be the right ride for you. You got to know that going in. So
yeah and also I love your point that like not everybody loves group rides. I mean, if I hate using the word training, but if I'm like preparing for a longer ride, I don't want to be doing those in a group. I want to take my time. I want to do my own thing, and I think there's a time and a place for all of that, and just being okay with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming something here, but I'm going to just be comfortable with it, that there have probably been some shenanigans on some party size cycling rides. So I want to know like one of the weirdest or funnest, craziest things y'all have done and gotten into.
Oh, man. You put me on the spot. I don't know if it's not crazy, but some of the, just a running gag that we have developed is Rock and Roll McDonald's, which
okay.
Tell me more.
Somebody just happened to notice that when you're stuck pumping up a tire, that it sort of pretty much works perfectly to the Wesley Willis song, Rock and Roll McDonald's. Anyway, if you haven't heard it, go listen to it. I won't get you in copyright trouble or anything like that. But okay. That was also a terrible version of it. But as somebody gets a flat or somebody's a thing, every time now it's on Instagram, it's you post that video, that clip over it. We literally will just start singing it to the person that's pumping up the tire, mess with them. I mean, we don't, I don't know that we're too wild. I mean, we there's some beverages involved usually, and we do like sometimes we'll just like ride up to a liquor store and just like hang out in front of a liquor store with our bikes, which is usually a pretty fun thing.
It always gets other people excited, like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And you're like, oh, we're just riding bikes and drinking whatever we're drinking.
Yeah, hanging out.
Yeah.
I would say it's more that, I don't think we've had anything too crazy. I wish I had that like amazing, crazy story. Somebody streaking through the gorge naked or something like that. Nah.
Now that you've spoken into existence, it could there happen.
Maybe now somebody.
We're manifesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of like beverages, and this gets into my next question, but you guys have these amazing like drink. I don't even know what to call it.
The actual product is a beverage buddy. I wish I could say that it was came from me wanting to invent something like that and then realizing it sort of already existed and you could put your logo on it. And so I just did it. But
that's so cool though.
Yeah, no, we people love those. I think they might be our best selling product, to be honest. It's at least definitely in terms of quantity, but
include a link to that. Does it work like if you put the beverage buddy on and does it snap onto a can? Is that kind of how
it works? So it snaps onto the can and then it has a little lid that goes. I wish the lid that's a one complaint, beverage buddy, if you're listening. I wish the lid snapped up, like the little flippy part of it snapped on a little bit more firm, because if you have it like angled in a stem bag, it will kind of sometimes like catch on the lip and like snap off, but it will keep it carbonated. So if you keep that thing on there, it will stay carbonated, and it's interchangeable. It works on any, all cans are pretty standard. I mean, if you have like a really big one, or I don't drink White Claws, so I don't know if those have a smaller thing, but if they might not fit White Claws, but any standard can they will snap onto, and they glow in the dark. They have a little keychain thing to dangle on them, so that,
nice.
But they have, and I get this from, if you have a stem bag, you owe it to yourself to spend the dollar to buy this or $2, whatever I charge for them, because it will extend the life of your stem bag and it will smell significantly. I guarantee you 75% less beer stink on your stem bag from this product.
We will definitely have a link to that in the show notes, or just go to partysizecycling.com. But speaking of merch, and you touched on this a little bit earlier, when I look at your website, you're super intentional about having bigger sizes.
Yes.
And clearly you're super passionate about that. But I know from sourcing, getting those bigger sizes can be a challenge. So just talk to me about your process. How do you do it? Any advice for other folks who are making shirts and are like, I can't get a 2XL. It costs more.
Right. Yeah, I know. I definitely want to get into that. That's, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, I think 5XL is small through 5XL is pretty much what I try to do for every shirt that we make, whether sweatshirt, t-shirt, whatever, which can be challenging, right? So sometimes the biggest thing you run into, A, is some blanks do not go up to 5XL. So, and I'm going to address, I think, people that if you make shirts or you print shirts for your shop or for whatever, like this is for you. You can print. If you ask, you just simply have to ask. Most printers will not offer this because they don't necessarily want to, because it's a little bit harder for them, but you can take the same logo. They will charge you for one setup, because the setup you're paying for is to make the screen. You can put it on different garments. So if you have a blank that goes up to 2XL, you can still get, say, hey, I want to offer up to 5XL. What else do you have in this color that goes up to that? They can usually do that. And there's at least the printers I've used don't upcharge for that. They will upcharge for the bigger size itself, but there's no upcharge for splitting it over multiple garments. You may lose a little price break here and there, maybe depending on what sort of volumes are. And you know, for sake of scale, I'm dealing with like the 50 shirt range, right? Is usually what our runs are. So that's the other pain in the butt, though, is that the printers themselves get charged more for the blanks. The blank companies, your Gildens, your Comfort Colors, they are marking up these and going there. Printer's going to slap on a markup and pass it along to you. What usually happens is people will slap that markup onto their product to the consumer. And what all that ends up meaning is that nobody carries beyond XL. And if you're lucky, 2XL, right? There's some simple math here that I wish people would really just think through. So I like to call it subsidize your big shirts with your small shirts. Meaning if you, let's say it's the worst one I've ever seen on a t-shirt was a $5 markup, right? From a XL to a 5XL. And 2XL is not nearly as bad as that. But so if you charge let's say you're doing a run of 100, if you charge an extra 60 cents for your small through XL to the customer, it will offset the increased cost of the 2XL through the 5XL, and you can charge the same price to a customer. And so if everybody from here up the supply chain started thinking like that, we could probably actually get it to the point, because if there wasn't that cost increase, more people that make shirts would probably start making them on bigger sizes, because there wouldn't be that barrier there, right? It's one of those things where, well, if you don't make them, nobody orders them. Nobody ever has them. So people aren't that, where 4XLs aren't always out looking for them until somebody like literally raised their hand and said, hey, this comes in 4XL. You're usually not checking. The last thing I have from a consumer perspective is if someone that you follow or a company that you like has a pre-order and they don't have your size, just simply reach out and ask. I have to, couple shout outs. I've been like a 75% hit rate on this. I specifically want to shout out like Bicycle Pubes did it for me when I was like, hey, can you put 3XL up on the pre-order? No problem. Spindat did it for me. Bike Jerks, Jeff Lemire from A Million Things Wild and All City and all that. I'm sure I'm missing a few other people, but and there's other people that are just doing it just because, right? Like Grizzly or Not a Race Team, or you don't have to ask for those things. And between those two things, I think we could do a lot better at getting this out there. And I think, again, the price difference. So you will never, this is a promise. So we record this recording. I'm never going to charge more money for a 5XL than for a small. It's never going to happen through party size cycling. And I wish more companies took that stand.
Yeah, that is the stand that we are attempting to take with All Bodies on Bikes. Sometimes I screw up when I'm, going through the Shopify, whatever, and setting the price points. But yeah, my goal is price parity across the board. That's because awesome. It already costs more to be fat.
I know you mentioned you're doing like a, so is there was a name for it, right? I'm sorry, shoot. Rifle motion.
You're fine. I am working on like a separate company that would be separate than All Bodies on Bikes. Okay. That's for a separate podcast, but yes. Thing there. No, don't apologize.
I thought you had mentioned that. So, sorry.
I had mentioned a couple times, but the name has changed and who knows what we're making now. My new ambition is mountain bike knee pads.
Okay.
I just like, this is a total separate topic, but I don't want to put crap into the universe because I can. Mm-hmm. I want to put out a product that's actually needed and is going to be useful. And I keep coming back to mountain bike knee pads or just knee pads in general because I can't find any that fit. So
I've never actually shopped for them. So that's one thing that I know the chest pads are impossible, but ever like the knee pads, huh? Okay.
Yeah. And so who knows, chest pads might be a second thing. But back to the apparel conversation. Really love your advice just to reach out. I think, and I was trying to approach this with empathy. I think folks who are doing this are not trying to leave us out, those of us in bigger bodies. I think it's often they haven't lived in a bigger body themselves, so they just don't even think about it. Yeah. And cool, comes up to XL, great. So it does take that advocating for yourself and just reaching out and asking for it.
Yeah. And I think that is, it's just, they haven't thought about it and that's all it is. And they, to their mind, they probably don't realize there are people that are 4XL size that do, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I think until you're up in that size range, that seems like a fictitious size
100%
to an average bodied person. Right. So I think it is challenging. And I don't think, they're definitely not doing it on purpose. And there's no, and they might not be able to, like, they really truly like the quality of the garment that they're using may only come up to XL, and they might not be willing to move to a different garment because they have a vision, they have a thing, and that's important to realize too, right? And that's okay. And getting back to that conversation of, it's okay to have different stuff for different people, right?
Yeah,
like we just need a few more things for us, I think.
100%. Yeah. Oh, you are dropping so many truth bombs. I am so excited we had you on the show. Because sometimes I feel like the squeaky wheel with all these things, so it's really nice to hear it from somebody else as well.
I mean, I think sometimes I feel like this shouldn't need to be said. So I'm like, why are we, but you have to. But I will say, like, as a larger bodied cyclist, I think this is, you know, this is one thing that might be different for male than female. I feel like I don't get as much of the negative stuff online that females do that I see. I think that is a big, big difference. I think I've been very lucky in that, or maybe just that my audience is big enough that it's the only people that like me that are checking me out, which, you know, that's a different conversation. But, you know, I think that that is... that is the one big difference between being a bigger male and a bigger female. I feel like the internet is much, much harsher to larger bodied females on the internet. I don't know where I was going with that, but
yeah, I mean, especially when I step out of my little bubble, like I had that, the video of me crashing go viral and, you know, my audience knows me, loves me, are very familiar with my capabilities. But as soon as other folks, especially the mountain bike bros, as soon as it became in their orbit, it was like, I feel sorry, but I feel bad for the bike. Surprised you didn't pop the airbag. Just like the most meanest, like vitriolic, like why are these thoughts even crossing your brain? Like who hurt you? Like really? Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I just try and ignore it. And it's not always
easy. I think your friends, if you try to go for a bike ride with your friends that ride, I think what you find is most of them are just thrilled that you're there. They don't care how fast you're going. Never apologize for going slow. Like, I know there are rides that I don't get invited to because they are going fast, and that's fine. And they know that I don't have any interest in going that fast. And don't feel left out. And I'm happy that they have those rides for themselves also. But if they invite me for a ride, they know I'm going to go slow. So they know that they're going to be waiting. They know it's going to be a chill ride, or they'll let me know like, hey, this might be a little bit faster than you used to. I don't know if you want to come, but I think your friends can be amazing if you let them.
Yeah.
I think we are often, what's that? There's a saying, shoot, what is it? Anyway, like a fool is, you can't free somebody from the chains that they love or something like that. Mm. It's a Voltaire saying, I'm butchering it. Link that in the show notes too. But, you know, but I think if you truly want to do this, reach out to your friends first. I think they will be more than happy to accommodate you and to encourage you and to do that. But yeah, don't ever apologize, you know, for the way you're riding.
Yeah.
If you
no apologies.
Yeah.
No apologies necessary.
I only accept apologies from people that have caused me physical harm.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or emotional harm.
Yeah. Yeah. But I usually just say if you've lit me on fire, but people have started looking at me weird, like, how many times has that happened to you? So I have to come up with a different way to say that.
Has that ever happened to you?
Not yet. That's why I won't let anyone apologize to me.
Fair enough. Well, I don't have any more questions. Andrew, is there anything else you want to cover or want to make sure we talk about?
Oh, I did. That's a lie. Let me just
I
see
do have two more questions, but we have the same two questions for everybody.
Okay.
But,
Tandems are cool.
Ooh, get tell tandem. Us.
I can.
Yeah, who do you ride your tandem with?
My spouse, my wife. She hates it when I call her my spouse or my partner. She wants to be called her my wife. But my wife Jen completely changed our dynamic of cycling. She was very afraid of riding traffic. And also got an e-bike recently, got a cargo bike. Got
the, yes.
Easy. And that thing has saved me like 6 car trips a week. Cannot say it enough. Big person, small person, regardless, like that will change the way that you view a bike as a tool rather than leisure or exercise or whatever. It is transportation and it is 100% worth it. Go get an e-bike.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love that. Maggie, anything else to ask before we move to our final two questions?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, before we lose the audience, Andrew, where can folks find you?
Party Size Cycling, Instagram, party.size.cycling, partysizecycling.com. Pretty much the only two places that I exist online.
Awesome. And yeah, check out their merch, especially if you're in a bigger body. You guys have some really fun neon.
Like, try to make everything fun, even though it's all like very metal themed and most of the inside jokes are like metal and hardcore related, but everything is very bright and fun colors. So even if you're not into it, you should be into it.
Exactly. You should be into it and get yourself a beverage buddy. Yes. Well,
I will be doing that.
I don't know if you know this about Maggie, Andrew, but Maggie is what I call a beverage goblin. She always has like 3 to 4 beverages at all times.
We're the like simpatico. Yep. Like,
yes.
Same.
At work today, I had a cup of coffee, a cup of water, a LaCroix, and a coconut water just lined up on the counter.
That is why I say beverages, not just like, it's not always just a beer. It's not always just like, it is just liquid.
Yep. Just some kind of liquid. Yep. At least two within arm's reach at all time.
Okay, cool. Well, as we finish up, I'll ask first, Andrew, what is your perfect day outside?
Ooh. Perfect day outside would be, I think, ride to somewhere. I'm a big fan of like rides that have like a point they ride to. So maybe a brewery, maybe a coffee shop, or we did a really fun ride that was like a poutine ride one time. So ride with a specific destination, with no specific time that you have to be there, and 50% of that being non-road surfaces.
Nice. Yes. Love it. And then our last question, what do you wish more people asked you about, or what is something that you do or are into that you wish you got to talk about more?
I am recently started working on some coding projects.
Okay.
That I'm not ready for people to ask me about yet, but I have some fun things that I think I'm working on that, stay tuned for that. So maybe some Strava add-ons and potentially a video game that I'm working on.
Okay. Fun.
Can't say too much. I don't want anybody to see my ideas.
Right. No.
Fair enough. Well, hey, this has been an absolute joy. Nice to reconnect with you. We haven't really talked since deep in the pandemic when we were Zwifting away. But maybe I'll pop into one of your virtual rides.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Thank you too. Love to see you on there.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Anybody, really, it's an open door.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the good work that you're doing. Thanks for putting out the good vibes.
You all both. I really have been appreciating the podcast, and it's been a good listen. So thanks. Really thrilled to be on it.
Yeah. And thanks for dropping all the truth bombs about clothes and wheels and PSI and all the things. Really, really appreciate you. Thanks. So
yes.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been another episode of the All Bodies on Bikes podcast, and we're grateful that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
This is an All Bodies on Bikes podcast powered by Feisty Media. The show is produced by Maggie and Marley and edited by the team at Feisty Media. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of getting caught in the rain with poorly fitting, flimsy rainwear? Well, let me introduce you to Cleverhood, makers of thoughtfully designed, durable, and size-inclusive rainwear. Cleverhood is designed by women, but is made for everyone who wants to embrace the elements and enjoy the ride, no matter the weather. Cleverhood was born out of the need to make rainy days into happy days, and with multiple choices of styles and sizes, all bodies can stay dry, visible, and happy. Maggie and I especially love their rain cape. Literally, the only thing you need to fit is the head hole. Otherwise, it just fits. It's so cute and functional, and I feel like a superhero when I ride my bike in it. All of Cleverhood's designs have reflective elements thoughtfully integrated, including an option to customize it with the All Bodies on Bikes logo. They're also sustainable, with most of their fabrics made from recycled fibers and PFC-free DWRs. Social sustainability matters to Cleverhood too, and they only work with certified producers who follow labor and environmental standards, and they give nearly 5% of their profits back to community organizations, including All Bodies on Bikes. So whether you're commuting on a dreary morning, walking your dog in the rain, or waiting for the bus, Cleverhood is a great option. And remember, you can use the code ALLWEATHER for 15% off of your order.